You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. Tonight is a different sort of midweek service for us at the church, and that is that we're having a Christmas cookie, hot chocolate type of night. We're going to play some games and things like that. But basically tonight, we're celebrating as a church family. So hopefully that will go well, and we've learned some things through the years on how you don't want to approach that, and so we're gonna be having a good time tonight at 7 p.m. I think my wife is doing something similar but different from what we're doing for the adults. She's doing that with the kids. And so that'll be tonight at 7 p.m., just a little bit of a Christmas celebration for the folks at Merritt Assembly of God. And then next Wednesday is our Christmas Eve service. It will start at 6 p.m. It will be done by 7 p.m. And then we're going to release people with prayer and blessing and let them go out, celebrate the birth of Jesus. Annual celebration with their family, and have a great time of creating memories. So that's what's coming up. I'll be preaching a Christmas message this Sunday. We'll be having our staff and board Christmas party as well during the next few days. So lots and lots of stuff going on. Hopefully you will take time to remember to focus on Jesus being the reason for the season. So yesterday, we began our journey here in Psalm 142. It says here, I'll just read all seven verses, and then we'll dive back into where we left off. I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way in which I walked. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. So yesterday we had talked about David was going through a time of trouble that had reached flood stage. It was overwhelming him, not just physically. It was overwhelming him spiritually. His normal routes of escape had been cut off. And he says in verse number 4, no one cares for my soul. And then in verse number 5, he says, God, you are my refuge. We can always recognize that we have a place of shelter in the presence of God. So we can always look up. But we had concluded yesterday's program talking about no one cares for my soul. No one asks about my well-being. They don't ask about what's going on inside of me. A lot of times we see what people are going through physically without many times being aware of what's going on with their life as a whole. So I want to ask you today, how's your soul? What's going on with your life? Now, you might say, you're just a guy on the radio and you're just asking that question. But as a pastor, my responsibility is to know the condition of my flock. We've had people who've called in from listening to the radio program, and they would say, look, I'm a shut-in. You are my church. They supported the church financially. They said, hey, you're my pastor. They would call in, and I would pray for them. There were some people who I don't think they ever physically attended a service at Merit Assembly of God, but we built a relationship through telephone and things like that, and I would show up when we had a hurricane that came in. They brought some donations by, and we were able to give some of those things away to people in need, and I would stop in and visit them and things like that, just to check and see how they were doing. You see, Merit Assembly of God is not a mega church. It's more of a micro church than a mega church. We have dozens of people who come, not hundreds of people who come. But as a result of that, I get to ask the question with sincerity, how are things going in your life? How is your soul doing? And so let me just share with you a little bit about the Old Testament reference to soul. And that means that how are things in your life? How are your desires? Are your desires lining up with God's desires for you? Has he given you the desires of your heart? And In that process, how are you doing emotionally? So the fact that I have a team, I've got a part-time worship leader going through a very challenging season physically right now. And so I try and minister to her and saying, how are you doing? You know, when we have people that go in the hospital, do you need food? Is there anything that we can do? Do you need us to run errands for you? Anything like that? You see, church is not just supposed to be about people who gather together for a worship experience once a week or whatever, but instead it is one who comes along and say, hey, we want to get through this life thing victoriously in Jesus Christ. How can I serve you? That's a completely different aspect from what many people have. And so our emotions are, a lot of times people deal with the negative emotions of life. So there's anger, there's sadness, there's mourning, there's disappointment. There's fear. And if we never stop to ask the question, how are you doing emotionally? Then we just tend to assume that everybody is doing okay. When in reality, people may be going home and every night is a real struggle for them. Now, let me flip the coin on its head just a moment and say this. You may naturally assume that because your pastor is a pastor, that there are never any emotional struggles that they are facing, and you may never ask them, how are you doing emotionally? And I would tell you that your pastor goes through the same emotional struggles that you go through. So how are you, what are you passionate about in this season of your life? Now, I will say a lot of times we need to realize that there are different seasons that we are going to go through, and we need to enjoy the season that God has for us and thrive in that season, learn the lesson God wants for us in that season, because that season isn't going to be permanent. When we first moved to Florida, there was my wife, my son. He was very, very young. And we had one car. I worked during the day. And what would happen is my wife would take me to work and drop me off, and then she would come back and get me when my shift was over. I worked in a mall. I worked at Belk Lindsay back in the days, back before it was just consolidated into a Belk name brand. It was a very difficult season for her, because up until we moved here, she had worked in a church office. She had people that she knew in church and other young parents in the church and things like that. And we moved to Florida. We don't know anybody. She's dealing with a toddler, and she's not around anybody. We hadn't found a church to worship in yet. We were visiting churches and praying, God, where do you want us to worship? Because we prayed before we ever came. God, if you're leading us there, you've called us into ministry, so you're going to have to open a door for us to minister. And we were having a conversation, and she was describing, you know, the challenges that she was dealing with the season, because she felt like she had been put on the shelf. And I said, I want to encourage you, enjoy this season, because this season will probably change. And when it changes, you're probably going to go from having very little to do to having an abundance to do. And not that I'm a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I do know, you know, how the way that life works many times. And that's what happened. All of a sudden, when life kicked in, that moment of just being a stay-at-home mom was over. And I will tell you that from that point on, what my wife, she's had a great career, has a great career. But there were times where she missed that season of just being a stay-at-home parent. What are you passionate about? What is it you have an appetite for? You know, a lot of times at Christmas, people ask, what do you want for Christmas? I've kind of reached the stage where I'm not really too concerned about the things as much as I am about the time, the experiences. One of the things that I'm passionate for is working to provide a treasury, a storehouse, if you will, of the spiritual truths that God has revealed to me through the years, put those in such a usable format that I could pass that along to my kids, because they're all in ministry in one form or another. And, you know, that's what I'm passionate about. My schedule doesn't allow me to do a whole lot towards putting that in a workable format or a book format or anything like that yet. But I do try and keep it in such a way that when the season does allow, that's going to be what my ministry is okay, taking what God has shared with me and putting it in a format that is not going to be burdensome, but it will be something that my kids can use. There are some things that God revealed to me here in 2025 that it's like, God, I so wish I had done this earlier in my life. Wasn't things that God said, no, you don't get to do that right now. It's like, what I'm doing now is hopefully going to make someone else's life a whole lot easier in the years to come. And you know, that's what I'm passionate about. One other thing I'm passionate about is decluttering. We've gone through both sets of parents in going through the decades and decades and decades of possessions, to where now we're not going to have to deal with that decluttering process. I saw a cartoon. I think my son actually sent it to me, of two guys that were standing in front of a storage unit that was just floor to ceiling, wall to wall, air couldn't even get through there. And the older guy saying to his son, you know, it's not going to be too much longer until all of this will be yours. Well, one of the things that my kids have made clear is they don't really want to be going through all of that junk. A lot of times we carry just junk around with us. It's stuff. Now, there are some things that I have that don't have a lot of monetary value, but they have sentimental value. You might find this odd. I'm the sentimental one around our household. In some areas, my wife is sentimental in other areas. And so we were going through this decluttering process a couple of years ago, and we reached this one bucket, and she said, yeah, I'm not going to be able to go through that bucket right now. It wasn't because it had memories of sadness, but it was a season when our kids were very, very young. We have these storage totes, and they have labels on them like this, Mom's Treasure Box. There is nothing in there of monetary value, but there's something in there of tremendous emotional value. So what is it you have an appetite for? I told you what I'm have an appetite for. I have a hunger to see the kingdom of God grow in Brevard County. The decisions I make reflect my appetite. So you can tell what you have an appetite for by your time, by your financial investment, and by your activities. So if I'm hungry for food, I'm willing to go and pay a price to get the food so that my appetite can be satisfied. The same is true with our life. If we're hungry for something, we're going to make time for it. We're going to invest in it because we want to get the most out of it. I dare say that the spiritual appetite of much of Brevard County is that we're pretty well satisfied. We're pretty well content because there's not a tremendous spiritual investment that people make time-wise, activity-wise, or financially. So do we have the appetite to see the lost, saved. And so when David says no one cares for my soul, they're not hungry for the same things that David was hungry. The soul is the part of man that leaves them when they die. And if we're not careful, we can move from living to just existing. There are some people that have been so traumatized in their soul that they're just numb. They're just numb. It's the part of man that became alive when the Spirit of God breathed into that pile of dust. It's what resides in the blood, you know. It's one of the things I pray for when people have a blood disorder is, God, you are Lord of the blood. You put specific commands and guidelines and boundaries around the blood, because the blood was supposed to be the carrier of life. It's the blood of Jesus that brings life to us spiritually. One last statement here about this word, no one cares for my soul, is an attack on life, is an attack on the inner living being. Sometimes the attack isn't necessarily to end your life as much as it is to damage your soul. But I've got great news for you. David said, no one cares for my soul. But in verse number 7, he says this, God, bring my soul out of prison. All I'm going to say about that right now is that word soul is the exact same word. God, bring me out of my prison. If you feel like no one cares about you, I want you to know that Jesus commanded the church to make sure that people had clothing, make sure that they had shelter, make sure that they had food. If they were sick, that they weren't forgotten. If they were in prison, that they were supposed to be visited. They were supposed to be remembered. And I will tell you this, Jesus was the one who came to set the captives free. Those who were in the prison of darkness, he came to bring them out into his marvelous light. David felt like no one cared for his soul, but the reality is quite opposite. My favorite title for God is this: Jesus is the lover of my soul. We are not just called to exist. We are called to live, and we are called to thrive in his presence. The life that we have is supposed to be abundant life. Life to the uttermost. And so if the enemy can get us fixated on the things that we don't feel like we have in our life, then we will be frustrated. We will be depressed, angry. I saw a person say that they, because of what they were facing was very unpleasant, not ideal, very, very difficult, very sad. And they said that they felt cheated. And it would be very easy to feel that way. Like I said, I have pastored Merit Assembly of God for 33 years. If I allowed myself to go down that road, I could live a disappointed life, because I've seen so much. Actually, I'm sitting here looking at the computer screen right now, and these words are up there on the computer screen. Not my computer. Jesus, lover of my soul. I love that. What a wonderful little reminder that God just set right before my eyes. No one cares for your soul like Jesus, but I'm telling you, he really, really does care for your soul. And if you see people being blessed, rejoice with them. One of the things that I try to teach our congregation is if you need healing in your body, make sure you pray the prayer of faith for someone else to be healed as well. Because one of the things that I've seen is that many times when we shift our focus from what we're going through to what someone else is going through, God brings both of us through. So here's my pastoral question for you. I'll just, you know, how are you doing in your life right now? How are you doing emotionally? This will be the first Christmas season without one of our parents. Had one that passed away back in October. It's okay to let people know you have emotions. God wants to be Lord over our emotions, not our problems being Lord over. What are you passionate about? What is it that you're hungry for? What is it that you need God to do for you? And if you have, you know, areas of your life to say, you know what, I really could use some prayer in that area of my life, I want to encourage you to either call us 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. That's the phone number for the church. Or you can reach us at email, which is meritassembly@hotmail.com, meritassembly@hotmail.com. If you send us a prayer request, I want you to know we will pray for you. We will stand in faith with you, and we will say, God, I want to thank you that you are the lover of their soul. You know what we are going through, and God, our problems will not prevail. You will prevail over our problems, and we will thrive. You will be our shelter. You will be our safe place. Call us, reach out to us. Let me pray. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that every person listening would know that they are loved and that they are cared for by the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.